This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
When the Fed chief talks,
the Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Investors listen very closely. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke gave a speech yesterday and said the Fed will remain vigilant on inflation. Wall Street took that to mean more interest rates are coming. So investors dumped shares all afternoon. Then today in Asia and Europe, the selling continued. So without further ado, here are the numbers. The Dow plunged a hair short of 200 points, 1.75% to 11,048. The Nasdaq and the S&P 500 also lost around 2%, and so did Japan's Nikkei. Congress is back to debating the estate tax this week. Right now, the tax that heirs have to pay is slowly being scaled back, but some Republicans want what they call the death tax to die. As Scott Tong reports, others are looking for compromise.
Republican Senator John Kyle is pushing a Plan B to lock in the estate tax at a low rate for as few people as possible. Congress watcher John Fortier of the American Enterprise Institute says if the GOP doesn't negotiate now, it gets tougher after the November elections.
The Republican majorities will certainly be smaller, or one house or the other could be in the minority for Republicans.
The Kyle compromise would apply to estates over $5 million, and the tax rate would top out at 15%. But Democratic dealmakers are talking 35% or more. Question is, do enough senators want a deal? Lee Farris of United for a Fair Economy says many on the right just want to play election year politics with the repeal vote
as a way to decide which Senate Democrats they will target.
And most on the left want to stall and return with more bargaining power next year. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
We've all been asked at the checkout counter if we want the store credit card. No thanks, most of us say. Unless we're at Target, apparently. Target is the first retailer to crack the top 10 list of credit card issuers. Stacey Vanek-Smith has more.
Would you like to save 10% on your purchase today by opening a credit card with us? That has been the $5.5 billion question for Target. And more money is likely on the way, thanks to new bankruptcy laws. Personal finance expert Jordan Goodman.
In the past, consumers could run up a lot of debt and forsake the debt through bankruptcy. The bankruptcy law, which went into effect last October, basically forecloses that option for most Americans.
In fact, most retailers like Sears sold off their credit divisions, partly to avoid costly defaults. Now that that risk is gone, Goodman expects more retailers to issue their own cards.
Well, the retailers hook you in at the first time to get you the 10% off, charge you 23%, and then don't let you get away from bankruptcy. Sounds like a good business to me.
Especially good because retailers usually charge higher interest rates than regular cards. But they can offer incentives to attract customers, like discounts and promotions. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
Guard your aluminum. The price is at an 18-year high, so thieves are starting to take things made out of it. Highway guardrails, light poles. In Ohio, somebody stole $4,000 worth of aluminum bleachers. You're listening to Marketplace. This morning, a new masthead at the newsstand, The Times of London, begins publishing in New York. But a brand new paper when other publishers are laying off staff, Marketplace's Ethan Lindsay explains.
Robert Thompson is the editor of The Times of London. He says the fact that American newspapers are struggling is exactly why his paper is expanding stateside.
Too many newspapers have been reducing the size of their foreign correspondent corps, while at the same time we've been increasing ours.
Thompson worked for the Financial Times when the salmon-colored paper launched a U.S. edition in the late 90s. The FT focuses on global business. The Times will cater to readers who want better foreign coverage of arts, culture, and sports.
The World Cup is about to start, and there are people in the US who persist in calling football soccer. Within a few months, what used to be known as soccer mums in the States will be known as football mums.
Readers who want soccer reporting, they'll have to stick with their American paper. I'm Ethan Lindsay for Marketplace.
From American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com. By the Medtronic Foundation. Celebrating women and women's health. Information and health resources on women's health issues available at womenshealth.gov. And by Mellon Financial Corporation. Helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. As far as you and me are concerned, I'd say we can never have too much cash. But for public companies, that's not necessarily a good thing, especially if you're a shareholder. Last few years, companies like ExxonMobil, Goodyear, and Microsoft have been stuffing cash in the piggy bank. And commentator Robert Cottrell has a bone to pick about that.
We hear a lot these days about big, struggling companies with too little money. Too little to cover pension plans, pay healthcare obligations, or give out raises, except perhaps to top managers. That may be so. But a lot of big and generally successful companies in this country are wrestling with the opposite problem. They have too much money piling up in their bank accounts. Too much cash in the bank sounds like it ought to be a good thing. And it's certainly better than too much debt. That was a common problem in the late 1990s, when many companies were over-investing. But now, companies are going too far in the other direction. The job of a company is to make profits, and then to reinvest them in new business which can earn a 10 or 15 or 20% annual return. Instead, cash-rich companies are parking money in the bank at 5% interest. That means they've run out of strategy, or run out of confidence in themselves or in the economy. If that's the best they can do, they should hand money back to shareholders and let shareholders decide what to do with it. Some of that is taking place through share buybacks and special dividends, but not enough. One big problem here is that managers like hanging on to cash. It makes their life easier. The more cash they have, the less of it they need to borrow. That makes them subject to less outside discipline from lenders. And if they make a bad business decision, well, they can easily cover it up and cover the cost. With too much money around, just like anybody else, managers get lazy and wasteful. Perhaps worse still, if shareholders get impatient, a cash-rich company can create the illusion of growth by taking over another company at a fancy price. Most takeovers end up losing money for shareholders, but shareholders need a few years to find that out. Well done, managers, you might say, for having got themselves into this nice position of managing mountains of other people's money. They've piled it up by being tough and mean, even more so than usual, in the past 5 or 6 years of doing business. Now, shareholders need to keep them tough and mean by deciding what money they need to run the business well and then demanding that they hand back the rest.
Robert Cottrell is an economist staff writer, a writer based in New York. He comes to us by special arrangement with that magazine. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
Hurricane Katrina scrambled thousands of...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like...
What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.